cocaine habit is mighty bad. It's the worst goddamn habit I ever had, and I got high on that sweet cocaine. Take a walk down First and back up Main. Try to find the guy that's selling them 75-pound grams of cocaine, and I'll get high. Woo! On that bad, bad blow. Now, I'll take Sally and the Larry Hill takes Sue. They get high on cocaine and they sure love to screw. My, 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 oh my. That bad, bad thing. I'd like to tell you a little story right here about me and that old cocaine, what it did to me. It's a true story. Those are usually the best kind. It all started in the winter of 74. Things were kind of shitty around Detroit. I mean, gigs were far and few between, and well, you know, a young man turns to alternative ways of generating income. And a guy called me up one day, a guy that I knew kind of well. We call him Low Riders, but we won't get into that. He said, "Wayne, do you know where we can get some coke?" And I said, "Is it about cash money?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Did you see the money?" He said, "Yeah, the motherfucker's got $100 bills, a big wad like that of them." I said, "Well, if it's about cash money, I'll make some phone calls." See, when you're playing bands, you just happen to run into dope people. It's just kind of a fringe benefit. Well, I did this deal. It was real easy. We went out to this bar and met these gorillas. They were introduced to me as New York Mob. And they look like mobsters, acted like mobsters. They all kind of talk like this, you know. Say, "Wayne, can we get some coke?" I said, "Well, yeah." We hooked it up, sold them an ounce. It's real easy, just like that. Made $250 in about 15 minutes. I said, "Shit, this ain't bad." So time goes on, the winter goes on, and these people come back into town, and they want to cop some more, so my man gets in touch with me and I hook it up. We sell them 2 ounces. Then they come back again and I sell them 4 ounces, and then back again and I sell them 6 ounces. It's starting to get good to me, I gotta admit. I'm thinking, shit, I can record the band, get some new clothes, pictures taken. This is all right. Well, this brings us in the chronology of events up to June of 75. And we're gonna do this good enough, sure enough, big time deal, see? I'm gonna sell them 11 ounces of raw coke for 18 thou. It's gonna be a good score. So I'll set the scene. Here we are in my apartment. We got all the dope here, you know. And these gorillas are here, you know. Everything's kind of tense, everybody's strapped, you know. Shit could get flaky, you know, can't never tell. So this one motherfucker goes out, he says, "I'm gonna go in the car to get the money, see? I'm starting to get nervous now, you know, he ain't got the money." Well, goes downstairs, comes back up, looks in there, he's got $20,000 and $100 bills. I'm trying to look over at the money, you know, I figure as soon as I see the money, I know it'll be cool. I'm looking. I just happened to glance down the stairwell, and the dude left the door open down there. And I'm thinking, holy shit, this ain't right. Something smells funny. I look back to look at the money. I look back down, and there's about 15 motherfuckers coming up the stairs with big old Magnums and 357s and 45s yelling, "Police, And I turn around and here's this dude that I've been selling to, and he's got this big 45 and it's pointed right at my stomach, and I say, "Don't shoot!" See, them 45s leave great big holes when they go out, you know. And I thought, oh shit, I got a career to worry about. Well, these mobsters, and they are mobsters, but unfortunately they work for the United States government, and they're called the DEA. Okay. All right, now this is bringing us on up in our story to April 26th of 1976, and it's my day in court, and I'm standing in federal court, the Honorable Robert J. DiMaggio presiding, and he looks down at me and he says, "Wayne, boy, 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 what am I gonna do with you?" He says, "What are you gonna be doing for the next few months, Mr. Kramer?" And I walk up big and tough and I say, "Playing for crippled children or anything to help humanity?" He said, "That ain't good enough, buddy. I'm giving you 4 years. Take it down the line." So they sent me out to this prison they call Milan, and then they shipped me out to another one they call the Federal Correctional Institution in Lexington, Kentucky. And I stayed down there for much too long, hanging out with all sorts of head choppers and father rapers. Just a regular bunch of guys, you know. And I did my bit, you know, went on, learned how to get con-wise and make it past the administration, all that. And then the day came where I met the parole board, and they said, "Well, Kramer, we don't think you're that bad of a guy, so we're going to give you another chance." So then, on January 19th, 1978, they let me go. So now all you dudes and women that think you're a little bit slick, you know, you think you know how to get over and you think you're a hustler or something. I mean, you do what you want to, but for me, I have to break it down into a song. And if I would pass on any advice, it would go like this. Here's the thing about it. Here's the point. The cocaine habit cost me 21 months in the joint, so now I don't get too high on that bad cocaine. I still play my guitar though. On me, take a on me. Everybody have a